NBA Australia. How you going? That's right, man. It's Monday, July 8th. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet walking around money. That's cash money. The folding stuff. Green. Love it. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA offseason today. Breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while repping Straya. Just a little bit, mate. That's what we do. Oh, gee, did something happen on the weekend? Woo! That's right, man. Today's show, today's Kawhi and PG on the Clippers show. Welcome us back, our man in Amsterdam, if Amsterdam's actually Portland, Oregon, PDX Pete. We've got Pete on the talk, Kawhi, Paul George, how good they are together, their injury history, what it means for each team involved, the Clippers, the Raptors, the Lakers, the Thunder, what OKC do now with Russell Westbrook, the biggest ever trade hauls, how the NBA suddenly has awesome duos everywhere like it's NBA Jam, just who all the contenders are now. Yeah, so we do all that with a whole bunch of it's a big yeah nah sesh. We let it all out, and it is a scorcher. It's a really good one, so stick around for that. The best bit is we're also going to close out with a brand new Deli review as Deli tackles the new season of Stranger Things. Legendary. All right, man. The NBA's changed. It's all topsy-turvy. But NBA Australia is here. It's episode 315. Let's go. The worst of
this. This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wah, you better. Oh, you better watch out for the attack of the, well, the sneak attack of none other than Kawhi. That's right, man. Kawhi Leonard had the last laugh. This is the daily whip around where we talk about all things NBA, the way we start every show here at NBA Australia. I mean, whoa. Kawhi Leonard is on the LA Clippers, and so is Paul George. It's absolutely wild. We're going to break down all the bits and bobs of that with PDX Pete in just a second. But after a three-hour meeting with Doc Rivers and the rest of the Clippers, and meeting with the Lakers, meeting with the Raptors, Kawhi also apparently was busy trying to convince Kevin Durant to come with him to the Clippers. But turns out KD was set on Brooklyn with Kyrie and his buddy DeAndre Jordan. Kawhi went to Paul George then. He's like, hey, man, what do you reckon? Apparently, he also maybe went to Jimmy Butler a little bit, but by that point, Butler had been traded. The Clippers apparently inquired on deals for Washington's Bradley Beal and Jrue Holiday. But Kawhi was like, nah, it's got to be Paul George. Let's do it. So Paul George had to very sneakily go to Sam Presti and go, oi, Sam Presti, Thunder GM. Trade me to the Los Angeles Clippers, would ya? And Sam Presti's like, ah, fucking what? Come on. Paul George is also like, hey, man, wherever Kawhi goes, I want to go there. So Sam Presti's like, all right, well, look, just give me a second. I'll try to trade you to the Raptors with your buddy Russell there. Turns out the Raptors didn't want to pay the price. And what was that price that the Clippers were prepared to pay and what they ultimately paid? Absolutely wild scenes here. That's right, man. Paul George then got traded to the Clippers for five first-round picks. An unprotected 2021 Miami pick. The 2022 Clippers unprotected pick, there we go. 2023 Miami pick, top 14 protected, lottery protected. There's a 2023 pick swap, the 2024 Clipper pick, unprotected. 2025 pick swap, 2026 Clipper unprotected pick. As well as the Shy Redder himself, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 20-year-old 6'6" point guard, and Danilo Gallinari, the Italian stallion himself. Absolutely wild scenes. Wild scenes. Everybody waking up to this was hilarious. Sitting there in Australia, you're just going to be like, oh, wow, just coming through in the afternoon. This is absolutely bananas. It was all popping off. It was incredible. That's right. The Clippers team that won 48 games last year took Golden State to 6 in the first round. Adds Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Absolutely mental. Absolutely mental. Fun, though. Fun, though. So we're going to break that down with PDXP. There's a bunch more to talk about. We talk about it all. So pretty funny stuff. So once all this broke, the Lakers then went and signed Danny Green to a 2-year, $30 million contract. They got the notorious KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, $7.7 million a year. JaVale McGee for a $4 million contract. Boogie Cousins on $3.5 mil. Quinn Cook, $2.9 mil. Noted leader Rajon Rondo for 2 years as well at the minimum. And Alex Caruso, the man with the baldest head in the NBA, not named LeBron James, 2 years, $5.5 million. Unbelievable. Yeah. So Boogie Cousins getting paid less than the notorious KCP, and JaVale McGee is going to be awesome. And meanwhile, the notorious KCP is going to have a fucking statue of Rob Pelinka built out the front of his house, isn't he? Because the amount of money that Rob Pelinka has given the notorious KCP, the notorious KCP could probably build it out of fucking gold. It's crazy. Anyway, look, the Lakers, they're probably still one of the West favorites. I'm still not convinced their defense can be anywhere near touching average. Danny Green's good. LeBron barely tries anymore. Anthony Davis. Boogie, I mean, shit. Boogie's going to be lucky to make it to the opposition three-point line by the time they score, right? The rest of the team outside of all the people that they just signed as well outside of Danny Green is just like, yikes. So I don't know. But the Lakers, look, you could basically put anyone around LeBron and AD and they'll be good. So we talk about that later again with PDXP. So there you go. What else? Other news. The Spurs signed Marcus Morris, which is pretty cool. I mean, I'm actually pretty bummed about that because all I really, really wanted was the Morai on the same team. That's all I wanted. It's so much fun when they're on the same team. But no, I had to go and spaz it out. 2-year, $20 million contract with the Spurs. Apparently, good on you. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is on a 1-year deal with the Toronto Raptors, which is great for Toronto. I love Rondae. Can't shoot, but he is a baller. Love it. The Grizzlies signed Tyus Jones, to a 3-year offer sheet, which is pretty interesting. I mean, the Wolves are going to be like, all right, well, are we going to match it? Do we have any good point guards behind Jeff Teague? Shit, I don't know. That's going to be interesting to see what happens there. The Wizards, they get Davis Bertāns in a weird extended sign and trade with Damari Carroll going from Brooklyn to the Spurs. Brooklyn get a second round pick out of it, basically for facilitating it. And the Wiz take on Davis Bertāns. The Mavericks traded for Delon Wright from the Grizzlies as well in a sign and trade, a 3-year, $29 million deal for Delon Wright. Pretty crazy. The Grizz get 2 second-round picks in the future, I guess. There's no actual years attached to those yet, so that's pretty interesting. But there you go. So those are the end of the road signings of free agency, basically, aren't they? There's not much else there for anybody to find. It's like J.R. Smith. Awesome. I wonder where Marquise Chris goes back. Maybe to the Cavs? Yeah. Anyway, and I think the last one was that the Bucks signed Giannis' little brother, Thanasis Antetokounmpo, on a two-way contract, which is pretty cool. And Kevin Durant has changed his number when he's going to be playing with Brooklyn from 35, which he's worn forever, to number 7. Pretty tough when your company's named 35 Ventures. Better get rid of 28 of them. All right, there you go. That's the Daily Whip Around. Now, right after this, let's get to an extendo, yeah, nah, with PDX Pete. Right after, let's say, this one.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, I promised it at the top. He's back. He's our man in Amsterdam. If Amsterdam is Portland, Oregon, he's here looking at the wreckage strewn across in front of him of the Western Conference, praying that his Portland Trailblazers can somehow forge a path back to relevance. It's PDX Pete. He's still hung over from the 4th of July. How's it going?
Oh, I'm feeling pretty shithouse, mate. How are you?
Hey, you know, chilling, not illing. Don't need that penicillin at the moment. That'll all clear up pretty quickly. Oh, man, beautiful. So how's it all been for the last, couple of days looking at this whole Kawhi to the Clippers. Paul George suddenly gets traded. Your Portland Trailblazers are sitting there going, well, we got Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah, I'm currently trying to convince the Portland Trailblazers to move to Portland, Maine. So, you know, branding works and all that. But just the East is just going to be so much easier. The West is just going to be crazy this year.
It is fat is that West, isn't it? It's just fat. There's just good teams everywhere all of a sudden. And the East, it feels very top heavy again. But, I mean, I think I was trying to break this down yesterday with brother-in-law Bill. And sort of trying to figure out who are the bad teams in the East. And it's like, there's a couple, but there's not too many just legitimately horrible ones. Like, you've got Charlotte. You've got, like, even Atlanta are going to be, like, feisty. Chicago are going to be feisty. Like,
yeah. It's
pretty weird, man. But the Knicks will still be horrible, so that's okay. All right, let's get stuck into some yeah-nahs. Talking about this Kawhi stuff, we're going to talk about the what it means for the Lakers, the Raptors, obviously what it means for the Clippers, what it means for the rest of the West, a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to talk contenders, PDX Pete, because there's about fucking 40 of them out of nowhere, which is pretty cool. We're going to talk some injuries. We've got biggest trade hauls. We've got a lot to get through. So this is just going to be a whole bunch of yeah, nah. So let's do it. Yeah, nah, Kawhi going to the Clippers is pretty good. Yeah, nah.
It's fantastic. I think everyone kind of saw it coming, and it was like it was in the cards, then it wasn't in the cards, then it was again. But no, it's fantastic. I'm super excited to watch him four times a year as opposed to, you know, two.
Yeah. So to your point about how it was like written on the cards and then the cards got burnt and then the cards suddenly appeared back again after Magic Johnson somehow got involved for the Lakers, it was weird that like it did seem like the Clippers were on the outer, didn't it? Like in the last, 4 days before, July 5 he makes his decision. And it really felt like it was almost fait accompli that he either goes back to Toronto and just sort of runs it back. There were he's on the plane back to Toronto and everyone's like, man, he's not going to fly back to Toronto if he's going to spurn them, right? And then the Lakers, they've got AD, they've got LeBron. Everyone's like, man, just imagine LeBron, AD and Kawhi. It's going to be unstoppable. And then absolutely out of nowhere, like, because the Clippers have just got nobody. They've still got last year's team. They re-signed Pat Bev. They've just kept their powder dry and everyone's like, well, what's he going to do? Just go there by himself. And then it turns out, no, he's not going to go there by himself because he's going to make them trade for Paul George, PDX Pete. That's absolutely bananas. He tried to convince Kevin Durant to come with him. KD's like, nah, I'm good. And he's like, oh, no, I want to really go to Brooklyn to play with my good friend Kyrie Irving. That would be much better. That is very good, yes. And then so Kawhi's put the hard word on Paul George, goes, hey, man, hey. What it do, baby? Better request a trade. And that's exactly what happened. So,
how happy was Paul George, honestly, when he walked out of that door of the, you know, the Go Seattle Supersonics being on the way to the Clippers and just being like, I actually get to play with someone that might actually pass me the ball. It's going to be sweet. I might actually win something. He must be happy as Larry right now.
Well, Larry was just running around the backyard like an arsehole, so yeah. He seems pretty happy. Look, Paul George, for all of his talk, 2 years in OKC, right? He's like, all right, this is kind of fun. I'm going to re-sign, going to hang out with Lil Wayne, my best friend Russell Westbrook. Oh, Kawhi, you want me to move to LA? Fucking see ya. Like, just gone, later. Out the door. So Kawhi makes this decision. So 4 year, $141 million contract. He meets for 3 hours with Doc Rivers, apparently, and, you know, at Doc's house. 3 hours. What do you reckon they talked about for 3 hours, PDXP?
I don't know. I'm imagining Doc Rivers did all the talking there because Kawhi doesn't really talk, so it would have been pretty awkward. Lots of one-sided conversation, I would guess.
So the conversation, though, do you reckon it actually touched on the – it's like, hey, Doc, what I really need your guys to do is get me Paul George. You just need to make it happen, right? Because I'm Kawhi Leonard. Make it happen, motherfucker. And Doc Rivers is like running through the back of his head. Does he go, now, should I actually bring up the fact that Paul George reportedly cheated on my daughter with a Miami stripper? Do I say anything? Or do I just want to coach Kawhi Leonard and Paul George? Fuck it, I'm not going to say a word. We're going to get Paul George. Here's five fucking first rounders. Here you go.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Yeah, really. He's like, but I do like winning.
Yeah.
That would be sweet.
I like my daughter, but I really like NBA championships. Yeah. So Paul George ends up getting traded to the Clippers. PDX Pete, 5 first-round picks. Shai the Shy Redder, Gilgeous Alexander, Danilo Gallinari. Look, off the bat, is this probably the steepest trade price paid for a superstar, PDX Pete? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, without question. It's insane. Like, put aside all those picks, which are crazy. They have pick swaps. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on in there. But Gilgeous Alexander is an actual fantastic point guard. So he's a killer. That was a great get for them. And then Gallinari was almost an all-star last year, and he's expiring. Like, they've really actually set themselves up pretty well, OKC, in this trade. And, yeah, going out and getting Gilgeous Alexander has really kind of set them up to trade Westbrook, get rid of him, since he's probably not going to be interested in staying there anymore. So, yeah, I think that was actually a pretty good haul for them. I think they did a really good job.
We're going to look at some other big trade hauls in a bit, but just the sheer breadth of what they got is pretty crazy. 2021 Miami pick, which is unprotected. The 2022 Clippers pick, which is unprotected. 2023 Miami pick, which is top 14 protected. They get a pick swap in 2023. They get the 24 Clippers unprotected pick. 25, another pick swap. And in 2026, they get the Clippers unprotected. That is absolutely bananas. Now, usually I feel like in trades like this, yeah, first rounders are a little bit overrated because you're like, you know, cool, first rounders are neat. It sounds good. But when suddenly you're picking it like number 28, you're like, ah, well, was it really worth it? But that's fine by 2023. The fact that you then have another 4 picks after that is absolutely fucking bonkers. They're going to be picking for the Clippers in 2026, Pete. Crazy.
Dude, if either one of these guys gets injured or it doesn't pan out, the Clippers are so fucked. Like, yep. So fucked.
There's 1 year, but, right? It's like you just need one of those years to, like, you know, Paul George, God forbid, like, just does a hammy, like, at some point and it doesn't come good in the season, and, like, Kawhi's maybe battling a shoulder injury or something and they just have one bad year and suddenly you're picking number 10 out of nowhere, right? It's pretty neat. It's pretty cool. And maybe that 10 jumps into the top 3 because it's unprotected. You're, like, laughing. How good is this?
Yeah. And, I mean, for OKC, it's great because, you know, they can take those picks. They can add them to trades to try and offload Steven Adams' like almost untradeable contract, add it to a Westbrook trade. So they are setting themselves up for the future pretty well. But, yeah, going back to the Clippers, yeah, if these guys don't pan out or something happens, you know, knock on wood, nothing does. But they're really kind of really hoping that everything is just – they're just going to be contenders and – killing it every year for the next 6 years or something like that seems unlikely, you know, by the end of that 6 years.
I mean, we just saw it in Miami. That lasted 4 years. We just saw Golden State last, what, a total of 5 years. It's really sort of looking into the crystal ball and just praying. It's like, well, hopefully this will be right. Because, look, do you reckon this is a bit of an injury risk? You kind of already answered the question, but, yeah, nah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we honestly don't even know how healthy Paul George really is.
He had two shoulder surgeries.
Both shoulders. Like, he's not going to come back 100% at the start of the season, which obviously you don't win championships at the start of the season, but he's definitely injury prone and has shown that he's going to sit a lot of games. Kawhi's going to sit, obviously, a lot of games, you know, Mr. Load Management or whatever, but they're really taking a punt and hoping that it's going to work out, and it very well could not, you know.
Yeah, it's like I appreciate the Clippers like swinging big, and like this is the biggest of big swings. Like literally, it's the biggest swing because it's the biggest trade package we've ever seen. But Paul George, like, rotator cuff. He was obviously struggling. His shooting numbers randomly weren't so bad during the first round exit that the Thunder went through. He had like one absolutely horrible game and like another kind of meh game, but a couple of really good ones too. But it really did look, the last third of the season that he was really in struggle town.
Yeah.
So he has the two shoulder surgeries in the off season, and like the Thunder were just like, so we never admitted that he was hurt, but also he just had surgery. And then like 2 days later, they're like, oh yeah, he also had surgery on his other shoulder. Everyone's like, what the fuck? Jesus. All right. And that, you know, the jokes get to be made is because he was carrying Russell Westbrook. But Kawhi's busted hammy, you know, that he was dragging his leg around during the playoffs. Yeah, he'll be fine though, I reckon. Like, I feel like he's just a tough MF-er anyway. And I feel like Toronto has just shown you the path right this way, right? If you're the Clippers. Like this year, Toronto just laid out the blueprint for you. You just follow that. You have a deep regular season bench, deep regular season roster that's, you know, enough quality across the board just to get you wins when you are resting one of these two dudes or both of them, whatever. It lets you rest your stars, like, you know, day in, day out. They don't have to, like, play 38 minutes a game even when they are healthy. Then you can roll out the big guns in the playoffs, go seven deep and kick some ass and let it rip, right? Like, it seems like Toronto sort of laid the blueprint. Clippers just need to sort of follow it now.
And the Clips, honestly, like, they have the bench that they can actually do that. You know, like, they had the co-six men of the year with Lou Will and Montrez. You know, I honestly think they can carry the load until when it gets around to the playoffs. And then, you know, you let these guys kind of shine and hopefully they'd be fully rested and ready to go. And, yeah, they're gonna rip it up. So it's pretty scary being in the West right now.
It is. This roster won 48 games last year and took Golden State to 6 in the first round. And like, they lose Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but he had, weirdly enough, he played like the three best games he played in that Warriors first round. The Clippers lost, which is pretty weird. So they keep Landry Shamwell. They bring back Pat Bev. They lose Gallinari, obviously, but they replace him with Mo Harkless. And look, Mo's obviously stepped down from Gallo. But then you have Paul George and Kawhi coming in as well to go to Pat Bev, Landry Shamwell. Lou Will, as you said, Montrez, and they even brought back Ivica Zubac, which is great. They've got just a young big man out of nowhere too. They've got Mufundu Kabangeli, which is sick. Dikembe's nephew, that's unreal. Get amongst it, guys.
Who apparently cannot play a lick of defense.
Yeah, I mentioned that on last week's, like, one of the draft rap show, and it's one of the funniest things in the world. But I think he was taking pick number 27, and that's the magic number, isn't it? Like, that's the Rudy Gobert, that's the Kyle Kuzma. That's like, is it Tony Parker, I think, is like the 27. There's a lot of 27s out there. So, look, I feel like the Clippers are just an absolute barn burner of a franchise right now. 48 games. They make the playoffs last year. They lose kind of, you know, their biggest scorer, but they replace him with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and their, you know, rookie point guard. So, got to feel pretty good. So, that leads us into talking some contending, PDXP. Now, my first contention about contenders is, are there 8 contenders in the NBA right now? Look, you know, it's July, but still, most of the rosters are kind of set now. Are there 8 contenders right now, PDXP? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, I'd say there are. I'd say you look at Houston and like a couple of teams around that didn't make any changes that, you know, did get to the playoffs last year, will still be looking, you know, that's the ultimate goal. They're still going to be wanting to do that this year as well. I don't know with Houston. I don't know if it's going to happen, but you know, Portland, Utah, Milwaukee's obviously going to be good again. Boston's going to be good. There's plenty of teams out there that are ready to jump up and get going and yeah, hopefully, you know, steer this away from Golden State and but you know, get out there and make it happen. So yeah, there's at least 8, I would say.
Let's go through them and we'll do some yeah nahs. Are Philly a contender? Yeah nah.
Yes, I think they are.
Big Simo, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson, Al Horford. Yeah, I reckon they're a contender. Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the Goodland. Are they a contender? Yeah nah.
I think they are, but I think Brogdon was a huge loss for them.
60-win team. They bring back most of the important guys apart from Brogdon. You've just got to feel good about them in a slightly, slightly weakened East. Look, it just kind of feels pretty good, I think. I like Milwaukee a lot. Are the Clippers obviously a contender, PDXP? Yeah, nah.
Nah, not this year. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, they definitely are, for sure.
Their staple center mates, the Los Angeles Lakers of Los Angeles, California, are they contenders? Yeah, nah.
No, not right now. Not with how their roster's set up, but ooh. I think eventually if they, you know, if LeBron pulls his strings and he can get a few buddies or a few clutch clients to force their way in there, I think maybe then it'll happen. But I think right now I'm not super confident that they're going to be, you know, be anywhere higher than maybe the sixth seed.
Carmelo Anthony. Two words that you just want to hear ringing across that Los Angeles Lakers arena. I love it.
Yeah.
I think they are a contender just because they've got Anthony Davis could at any moment just go, oh, yeah, so now I'm happy and I'm where I want to be. You know how I was probably going to win the MVP one of the last 3 years, but it just never kind of happened because I'd always have like a little bit of a niggling injury or like, you know, I'd sit out half the season because I was sad. Now I'm playing with LeBron and this is going to be awesome. I'm just going to drop 34 and 15 on your heads every fucking night, you nerds. And LeBron's going to be my little fucking, you know, Robin to my Batman. That could happen, I think, in a heartbeat. And if that does happen, shit, it is on. Another one for you, Utah, with Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert, Gustavo Tower. Are they a contender for the NBA title, PDXP? Yeah, nah.
Absolutely. Any team with jingles on it, contender. Automatically.
You got the Bo Jingles wing combo. You got Bojan and Jingles is raining threes on everybody. Of course they're a contender. I love Utah. I reckon they could easily be the one seed in the West and it wouldn't be that much of a surprise. The Denver Nuggets, PDXP, they have just absolutely stormed through the Western Conference playoffs this year, kind of, but not really. They've got a re-signed Jamal Murray. They've got Nikola Jokic. Hello. Are they contenders this year? Yeah, nah.
I think they are. I think hopefully, you know, Michael Porter Jr. will come out and show what he's really capable of. You know, he's got a lot of – everyone kind of built him up and then he just sat out the whole year. Hopefully he can come in and kind of add that extra spark that they needed. But, yeah, no, they're another team, like I was saying before, you know, standing pat, just kind of watching the world fucking burn around them. But I think they're going to do, they're going to go far again this year. So yeah, I think they definitely have a shot.
54 wins. They're the second seed last year. They've got Nikola Jokic just absolutely like wrecking shit around him. Jamal Murray, you know, hopefully with a little bit more, you know, more basketball under his belt, more consistency. You've got that big old contract for him. But anyway, the team that beat them in the second round last year, or last season, it's your Portland Trailblazers, PDX Pete. Are they contenders? Yeah, nah.
Yeah. I mean, this goes without saying, obviously. They definitely are. But we, honestly, though, I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried in the Hassan Whiteside signing. And or trade going out and getting him, it just means that Nurkic is going to take a little longer to come back. Hassan is probably going to find himself in trouble somewhere in Portland, being that weed is legal, and we are going to be in a whole world of hurt if either he goes down or Zach Collins goes down. You know, Baby Bieber's gone. We just don't have that much big man depth. Anthony Tolliver is definitely not going to save us. So yeah, if I'm being purely honest, I would say, I don't know, but I've had to be here for the last, you know, 10 years and just have my heart ripped out year after year by the Blazers. So my head says no, but my heart says absolutely. I can already see Dame lifting the trophy.
I love it. Yeah, they sort of shuffled like bits and bobs around Dame and CJ, and obviously they made the Western Conference Finals last year. Last season, the way they did lose to the Golden State Warriors, though, does still, like, it's just the way Portland go out of the playoffs, right? Every year, just like, that sort of sucked. But they did make enough changes where you at least feel like there's more of a puncher's chance suddenly, I think, for Portland. There's, like, even more scoring. You know, if Nurkic comes back, as you said, like, maybe we'll see what happens. There's some other stuff. So, look, that's eight that I've just listed. Philly, Milwaukee, Clippers, Lakers, Utah, Houston. Oh, I didn't even mention Houston, but you did. I mean, they're a team that made the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago, won 65 games, and have been the one contender that have just gone hard at Golden State left, right, and center. So, do you reckon they're contenders this year as well? I mean, I think you already did because that's where you started this conversation. Yeah. So, yeah, nah.
Yeah, I think they are. I think, you know, Daryl Morey showed that he can go out and get those role players that can just, you know, play hard defense, rebound, and just give the ball to James Harden and get out of the way. They did go for a little bit there where they were like, seriously, anyone take Capella off our hands. Anyone take Chris Paul off our hands, please. You know, I think that was when they were in, you know, huge Jimmy Butler sweepstakes at the time. But now, you know, I think they're going to run it back the same and see if they can, you know, they had the huge signing of Austin Rivers, which is really going to push him over the edge. But No, honestly, yeah, I think they are going to – they're always going to be contender. James Harden is always going to find a way to score a million points every game. So, yeah, I think they're going to be a pretty good team again next year.
Yeah, I mean, they still won 53 games last year, and that was after starting off the season just in an absolute shit show. Like, so I think they're going to be fine. The weird thing is, though, with Houston, there does seem just that weird undercurrent of just discontent. Whether it's Chris Paul hating James Harden, Daryl Morey hating Mike D'Antoni hating the owner hating Daryl Morey, everybody hating everybody seemingly. Like, this could either be like a magical year where it all comes together and Houston finally break through, or it all just fucking burns down to the ground in a glorious train wreck like halfway through the season and Chris Paul's like walking away from the team or something and somehow he gets traded to the Lakers.
But let's be honest, they have State Farm insurance. So even if it does burn down, it'll be sweet.
It'll be okay.
They're covered.
All right, so there's the next tier as well. Like, we didn't even talk about like a whole bunch of teams, PDXP, which is crazy. So we've only covered contenders. So then there's Smokies. Boston, they've got Kemba. They've got a healthier Gordon Hayward. They've got the double J's not being berated by fucking Kyrie Irving every time they turn around. Like, they're a bit of a Smoky. Golden State, Steph, D'Angelo, Draymond. Like, they're still pretty good. Clay might be back at the end of the season. They're a quality team, superstar players here and there. Toronto, maybe Siakam steps up. You've still got Lowry, you've got Gasol, you've got Ibaka. Maybe you turn those people into like, you know, burn it all down, rebuild, or you run it back for a year and see how you go. You've got Norm Powell, you've got young dudes. You've got the Nets, you've got Kyrie, you've upgraded your bench wings. You've got Taurine, the Red Bull Prince, Wilson Chandler, Garrett Temple. You've got Dallas, Luka Doncic. You've got the Zinger, Extreme Zinger Burger. And then you've got Indy. Like, holy shit, they're a tough out last year, even without Victor. And now they add Brogdon, Jeremy Lamb, TJ Warren. They should have much more offensive power. Like, can you see any of those Smokies, like, even sort of just rising up out of that morass and sort of joining that eight contender bracket? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, for sure. I think Indiana, I think you've hit the nail on the head on just about every one of those teams. Like, Dallas is going to be crazy. I'm super excited to see how Dallas is going to go. Indiana have just added a whole bunch of shooters, and that's what they need. They still, you know, Miles Turner is a great defender. Oladipo coming back is going to be a huge lift for them. Brogdon was obviously a great signing for them. So, yeah, I think they're going to be sneaky pretty good. We'll see how far they can get. They're still a pretty young team, but I'd say my biggest Smokey would be Indiana. And then, obviously, Boston are going to be huge as well. They obviously have all the talent in the world. They just need to figure it out. And yeah, we'll see what happens. They did sign my main man, Enes Kanter. So, you know, they got all offense there, no defense. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, look, this is the best set of teammates that Kemba Walker's ever played with that hasn't been on an all-star team. So, like, you can imagine that Boston just sneakily are really kind of okay. But then you sort of look at their big man rotation, you go, oh, yeah. They've got Enes Kanter, so yeesh. So I've literally just listed like 13 teams, which is almost half the league where you feel like they could at least have a shot at making the finals. And then you've still got other teams like Minnesota who have got big Karl Anthony Towns. You've got Sacramento, like, you know, young dudes coming through with De'Aaron Fox, Mavi Bagley, Buddy Hield, etc., who were really, really fun last year and just almost made a playoff push right at the end. Until they sort of just fell a hint flat. You've got OKC still with Rusty Westbrook. You know that he's probably going to take a load off and be pretty chill about things. Miami, they've got Jimmy Butler. He's going to go hammer and tongs. He's got Justice Winslow around him. He's got Bam at a bio. And then there's even still the San Antonio Spurs that we all just forget about. It's just like, oh,
DeJounte Murray coming back.
DeJounte Murray comes back. They've already got DeMar DeRozan kid, and they've already got LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, that's another five teams I've just added on there. Like, you suddenly just have 18 teams that are like really pretty bloody good. So I don't know, PDXP. Are you excited about that?
I'm pretty excited. I just had a really quick thought. Trade proposal for you. Hassan Whiteside doesn't work out in Portland, goes to shit later in the year. Do we trade his contract for LaMarcus Aldridge? to the Spurs.
I'm not sure if LaMarcus is actually allowed back in Portland now, is he?
Homecoming, baby. Hey, we have quick memory. We'll let it go if he wins a championship for us.
It's the Trailblazers fans have, surprisingly enough, got like a goldfish memory. It's probably all that weed in the air up there.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's called marijuana. It works great.
The flip side, so of all that, what the best part to come out of this, I think, is there's also other trades that could be thrown around. We're going to get to like what it means, these trades sort of mean for like OKC and the Raptors, et cetera, in a second. But actually, how about we fucking do that now? That's cool. So where to for OKC, Westbrook? I don't know. Like, there's a part of me, PDX Pete, that feels like OKC might have cooked this, but also made the best of it, if that's possible. Does that make sense? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, for sure. I think let's be honest, that team wasn't winning a championship.
But this is the thing. I kind of feel like if they keep Rusty, keep Paul George, Roberson comes back healthy this year, like they could have been a part of that contending like conversation, right? The Warriors go down, you've got Rusty, you've got Paul George, you've got a puncher's chance, but at the same time, they did get fucking killed by Portland in the first round this year. They got killed by Utah the year before. The Rockets the year before that. Like, there have been three straight years of, like, first round outs, right? So
I don't think Westbrook's going to win a title. He's too ball dominant. He doesn't fucking pass the ball. He stacks stuff like crazy. You could have, you know, three or four stars around him and he probably still wouldn't win because it's all about him, you know, when it comes to his team. So I don't know. I'm thinking that if they do trade him, they're going to have to find a spot where, you know, he really kind of takes a back seat as the point guard. Obviously he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot, but you know, really takes a back seat and isn't the one that's throwing up ridiculous shots and just wasting out the clock like he does at OKC. But yeah, OKC is, I think they're sneaky. They're really happy with how this has worked out. You know, they got obviously those five picks. You know, they can kind of break it down and build around this new kind of a young team that they can create. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think they would have won. They would have been a contender even if Paul George had come back. So, and plus, like you said, you know, with Dame Lillard just dropping bombs like that on him, you know, that's gonna just hurt all next season. It's going to be PTSD every time they see him. So,
all right. Well, I won't stand for this Westbrook slander. I fucking love him and he's awesome. And the fact that he passes the ball, he's made a finals. He's made a Western Conference finals. He basically had the Warriors beat until everybody started shitting the bed. I feel like the window for him being the best player on a contender might be shut now, and it sort of hurts my heart. But anyway, look, so I think OKC looked at this and looked and went, all right, so what's the value proposition of contending this year, right? We look at it, we've got a scant, everything goes 100 million percent right, everyone gets injured on the other teams, whatever, and we can win the title. Or we look at that, what's the probability of that happening? Or do we get a do-over on an MVP-level dude in Paul George and get a massive fucking haul and get five first-rounders back, pick swaps? And they obviously decided, well, that's where there's more value. So, I mean, good on them. And I feel like, they're sneakily kind of like, all right, I don't think we could have won, so off we go. I mean, Westbrook Supermax still pays him $47 million in 2022-23. He's got 4 years, $170 million left on that contract. So, pretty wild. So, look, would you trade Russell Westbrook if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder Zombie Sonics? PDXP,
yeah, I would. I'd try and move him for someone younger that they can build around, you know, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. They can use their picks over the next few years to try and build up this team. He's at that point now where if he's going to win, he's got to go somewhere else to win. And I just don't think he's going to do it there. So if it was me, I would trade him. I would move on from him and try and get him. Obviously he's been so loyal, you know, get him somewhere that he wants to go. And I think that's Miami. He can go play with Jimmy Butts, but yeah, I just don't see it happening there in OKC. So,
yep. All right. So here's a couple of ideas for, rusty trades to the Magic. Yeah. Nah.
Yeah, I think The Magic would be like, fuck yeah. I think Westbrook would be like, fuck no.
So you got to give me Fultz, you got to give me T-Ross, and you got to give me Mo Bamba, and maybe even Johnny Isaac, or maybe just, you know, Johnny Isaac, not Mo Bamba. One of those two big dudes, young big dudes, Fultz, salary, and probably like, you know, two first rounders maybe. If I'm doing, if I get that for OKC, I'm fucking doing that in a heartbeat. Miami, look, the tricky thing for Miami is they just have no more draft picks to trade because they've given them all away. So you'd be sort of stuck going, well, I really hope you like Justice Winslow and Bam Adebayo. All right. And then also Dragic, shit. And then suddenly Miami just don't have a team around Butler and Westbrook. So I don't know. What do you reckon about Miami?
Yeah, I sneaky think that's where he might end up, just because, you know, as we're probably going to allude to in a bit, like there's so many duos, like big time duos going on in the NBA now. I think he's just going to look around the league and say, who can really help me score and defend well? I think Jimmy Butts is kind of top of that list. So, yeah, I would guess that that's where he's going to go. But, you know, there's 29 other teams out there that he might end up on. So
yeah, well, there isn't really, though, because no one can really take in that giant amount of money, and most of them already have point guards. So the Detroit Basketball Pistons, PDXP, what do you reckon about that? Yeah, nah?
I mean, again, I think he would probably be like, I might go play there if they take Reggie Jackson off that, like if they have to give Reggie Jackson back and probably Drummond. But
it would be amazing to see Reggie Jackson go back to OKC to replace Russell Westbrook.
Can you imagine that first game? It's just like booze raining down.
But yeah, Rusty and Blake Griffin would be kind of fun, but yeah, there's just not much of a rest of a team around them. And then obviously the one that you can always kind of rely on to do something fucking dumb is the New York Knickerbockers of New York City. What do you reckon about that one there, PDXP? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, I just don't think they have anything to, you know, that would entice them, right? Except for RJ Barrett, which they're obviously not going to give up on. So yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But
yeah, some future draft picks, you know, Dennis Smith Jr., one of your other young dudes, maybe Mitch Robinson. Ugh, I wouldn't do it if I'm the Knicks. But I mean, then there's like dudes like Chicago and Minnesota where they could sort of look at them and go, oh, they could use that guy. But their timelines don't really quite match up. Chicago's dudes are all too young. Minnesota's are probably just a little bit too young as well. We've just seen in Minnesota where they bring in Jimmy Butler and that did not work.
Yeah, that was a lot of tears.
There's also now like a Tim McMahon report out there at the moment about the Rockets being a long shot to land Westbrook, which is hilarious because when you're talking about long shots or Rusty, what, that's a 30% chance. So I don't know, man. The Rockets are also a team that if they are going after Westbrook, it means they may have officially lost the plot because they're also like, oh, no, we don't necessarily want to trade Chris Paul. So, well, that's not going to work. James Harden, Chris Paul, and Russell Westbrook, you fucking idiot. Shut up. Stop trying to pull one over us. Like, yeah, you're going to trade Clint Capella and Eric Gordon for Rusty and then have three of the most dominant ball handlers in the NBA all in the one team. Get the fuck out of here. So,
Look. I'll be playing Gerald Green at the five.
Yeah, Gerald Green's their starting. PJ Tucker can be the full-time five. Yeah. Great. So, okay, so if they stand fat, they've got Gallo. He's a nice stretchy 3-4 that you just kind of love next to Steven Adams, Jeremy Grant. They've got the shy Redder, Gilgeous Alexander. You know, stud 20-year-old 6'6" point guard, defensive menace. That's pretty cool. And I don't know, can Rusty sort of at least take this team to the playoffs, PDXP, just if they don't do anything else? Yeah, nah.
I mean, we've just got talking about how tough the West is going to be. I don't think so. I don't think this team, as it's constructed right now, is going to be as good as it was last year, unfortunately. And yeah, I think it's the time in OKC for that, you know, that golden years of Westbrook, Steven Adams, that team, I think is kind of past. And I think it's time for them to kind of break it up and start afresh.
Nice one. So speaking of which, Toronto, where do you reckon they're left? I mean, they pursued a package of trading for Westbrook and Paul George, apparently, according to, ESPN, I think mentioned that. Woj reported that. And it seemed like it was more Sam Presti like leveraging Toronto and the Clippers against each other, right? Which is this weird thing. And then Toronto are like, yeah, nah, we're good not trading five first round picks for Russell Westbrook and Paul George to keep Kawhi happy. So we're out. We'll see you. So where, I mean, do you feel like Toronto are sort of still at least, you know, a playoff contender-ish kind of team? What do you reckon, PDXP? You know?
Yeah, I mean, in the East, absolutely. They could, what, walk into probably the fourth seed or the fifth seed, right? Like, they've still got Lowry, they've still got Gasol, who showed his value in the championship run. Like, he can still play, and Ibaka's still kicking around, doing pretty well as well. So, yeah, I think there's definitely value in that Toronto team. And, yeah, the East is just – it's going to be a cakewalk for pretty much everyone, I think.
Well, so. here's a question. Are Toronto better than the Nets next year? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, I think they are. I think Kyrie's going to be a bit of a shit show, as we've seen from his time in Boston. And until KD gets there and kind of rights the ship and gives him just that scoring option, he's probably going to have to do most of it himself. You know, they do have Caris LeVert, and they've got Joe Harris and a few other shooters and good ball players, but it's just not. I just don't think they're going to be as good and as set as Toronto is. You know, they've obviously all played together and they know their roles, and yeah, I think it's going to be Toronto's not. They're going to have a tough time, but I think they'll be better than the Nets next year.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I really really like the sort of matchups because, like, yeah, Lowry up and down all year, Gasol up and down all year, Siakam maybe he steps up, maybe Norm Powell steps up a little bit more too. You've got Serge Ibaka, he was amazing during the playoffs, but was also a bit of a shit show throughout the regular season. The Nets, you've got Jared Allen, you've got DeAndre Jordan, you've got Taurean the Red Bull Prince, you've got Sweet Baby Carrots. You've got Spencer Dinwiddie. You've actually got a backup point guard for Kyrie, which is pretty neat. You've got Kyrie. You've got Joe Harris. Yeah, it's like kind of weird. Those two teams are the ones I sort of feel like are fighting for 3, 4, 5 with Indy behind, probably Milwaukee and the Sixers. All right, but the final team left out of the Kawhi Leonard sweepstakes, the Los Angeles Lakers, PDX Pete. Does this sound good to you to split up that cap space? $14.6 million for Danny Green, $7.7 million for the notorious KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, $4 million for JaVale McGee, $2.9 million for Quinn Cook, Boogie for $3.5 million, Rondo at the veterans minimum for his leadership. Does that sound like the recipe for success in Los Angeles for the Lakers to you, PDXP? Yeah, nah.
No.
Yeah, look, no. Straight off the bat, Boogie being paid less than JaVale McGee and notorious KCP is going to go over fucking amazing, no doubt, in Lakerland, right?
You know, okay, can I just say, you know how last year when we were talking about in the preseason, we were talking about how the fucking that locker room is just going to be fucking crazy? This year is going to be even fucking worse, I reckon, because they're all going to be pissed off that they missed out on their star. They rushed out and they signed all these guys thinking that, oh, shit, we have about 15 roster spots open that we need to fill. And I just can't see how this team is going to do anything. You know, yes, AD is going to be great. He is going to be good. But LeBron's fucking – he's getting old, dude. He doesn't play like he used to. And playoff Rondo, whatever. Whatever. If they make it, then we'll see what he can do. But JaVale is a fucking shit show. DeMarcus is not going to be good for that locker room. I don't see it. So, you know, prove me wrong.
That's the Principal Skinner. Prove me wrong, kids. Yeah. Prove me wrong. I also forgot to mention Alex Caruso, who every Laker fan thinks is the second coming of Byron Scott, which is pretty handy. But
to be fair,
look, what's
the best bald spot? Best bald spot in the NBA.
It is, like, apart from LeBron's. JaVale, Boogie, are you two big men? You've got Anthony Davis there, probably as your starting four. You've got LeBron, you've got Danny Green, you've got Rondo. You've got Quinn Cook, notorious KCP, Jared Dudley, Kuzma. Look, it's not that much of a shit show, but it is enough of a shit show that I'm super fucking worried. The Lakers. Nice one. But I don't know, it's like, I still feel like I'm not entirely convinced they really needed to go out and sign everybody right now. They probably could have just held out for like a little bit longer, see other shit unfolding, like we saw with, like, you know, Memphis just going, oh, you need to get rid of some shit? Yeah, cool. Just give us a couple of picks and we'll be fucking laughing, mate. I mean, for a team that don't have any picks for like the next 10 fucking years, it seems weird to just go out and blow their wad right now. All right, so we mentioned this at the top as well. Biggest hauls. Now, we were both seemingly in agreement about the Paul George trade basically being the biggest haul you could ever get. So this is bigger than Anthony Davis, isn't it, PDXP? Three picks and swaps, as well as Lonzo, Ingram, and Hart?
Yeah, I think this is a lot bigger. I mean, they were both fucking massive. It was consensus that the AD haul was the biggest one ever, right?
Yep.
And then they just go out and do this, and it's even bigger. It's pretty crazy. But I mean, if it works, it works, right? Like, what if it does turn out and they win the championship? Then they're going to be like, fuck the picks. Who cares?
So who out of like the young talent that got switched around there as well? Who do you like the best out of Lonzo, Ingram, Hart, Shai Redder?
Yeah, I think Shai was like a huge pickup for them. Like I said earlier, I think that's going to work out for OKC for a while. I think Ingram's the most interesting one, you know, because what do they do after the season? Do they pay him? Do they not pay him? Kind of, it's gonna be weird if he comes out and he kind of has a flat season, then they might just let him walk. So, yeah, I don't know with that one, but yeah, I would say Gilgeous Alexander because he's got a few years left on his rookie deal. He's clearly shown that he's a good defender. He's, you know, he's long and he's going to be a good player for a while. So. Yeah, that's the one that gets me the most 6 to midnight kind of, you know.
Yeah, I think Ingram's potential is probably still up there as well, just because, like, you know, you need big, rangy scoring wings in the NBA, obviously. I kind of like Shai Redder a little bit more than everybody just because I just fucking like that dude. That dude is a bad MF-er. The other biggest hauls that were thrown out there as well, there's the Carmelo Anthony trade, Wilson Chandler, Ray Felton, Danilo Gallinari. Weird that he's been in two of these. Mozgov. New York gave up their 2014 first rounder, as well as 2 second rounders from Golden State, as well as paying $3 million. But that was all, like, Chauncey Billups also went in that one. So,
yeah
it's kind of like...
I remember when that trade went down, and it was like, you know, the Denver GM at the time was just like, and then kept adding players, and it was crazy. That was a big one as well, but that was just shit because Carmelo was like, I'm out, just make it happen kind of thing.
Which is also so dumb of the Knicks to give up all that sort of shit anyway when he would have been there in like 3 months' time anyway. So
exactly.
There was also Shaq to Miami for Karen Butler, Lamar Odom, Brian Grant, a 2006 first rounder that the Lakers turned into Jordan Farmer and a second round pick. Like, that's pretty big, but it's not that big. I mean, Butler seemed like a bit of a gun, and Odom obviously turned into a gun, but yeah, if there had been like another pick in there, maybe it's all good. Yeah, it worked because Miami won the title.
Exactly. And that's what I mean. Like, if everything goes well for the Clippers this year and they win, kind of like, it was huge, you know, Kawhi last year, everyone was like, well, holy fuck, you know, what if they don't make it to the finals and he just walks? Like, that was crazy of them. But it worked, and now everyone's like, holy shit, that was, maybe we should do that. You know, teams around the league are like, fuck, maybe we should like just give it a crack. But yeah, you know, if it doesn't, if say Paul George hurts himself, Kawhi, like, you know, after about 30 games in the season, it's like, I just don't feel like playing until the playoffs. It may turn around and be the craziest fucking haul that's ever been sent and didn't work out, you know? So
yeah, it was like, there's also the Chris Paul trade from New Orleans to the Clippers. And I mean, that was what, Eric Gordon, Al-Farouq Aminu, when he was only what, a year or two away from being like the number 8 pick or whatever. And then the 2012 first rounder to the Hornets. That was pretty big. Boogie going to New Orleans. It was Buddy Hield, Tyreek Evans, a first and second rounder in 2017. Chris Webber, 3 unprotected first from Washington, and Tom Googs, Googly Otter.
I don't know.
It's still like, you know, PG and AD just absolutely fucking swamp all of those, just the sheer number of picks and just so far in the future that it's fucking bananas. So,
yeah.
All right. And last point though, PDXP. It's just an overarching big point that I want to make. The NBA is fucking awesome, and suddenly it's turned into a goddamn update of NBA Jam. We've got awesome duos everywhere. Is this fucking sick, PDXP? Yeah, nah.
It's fucking crazy. I was saying to you offline, it's like the best for you content creator people. You're just like, hell yeah, what's going to happen tomorrow?
Exactly. Anything could happen. Night in, night out. Gee, it's pretty good to run a daily NBA podcast, I'll tell you that much. Because we've got at least like 12, 13, 14 teams with superstar-ish duos or coming very close to superstar duos. And that's not even counting fun young teams like New Orleans, Atlanta, etc. that you just want to watch anyway because they're going to be sick. Like, you've still got Golden State, Steph and Clay, and in between you've got Steph and D'Angelo. Houston have got CP3 and Harden. Clippers have got Kawhi and Paul George. Philly have got Simmons and Embiid, or, you know, Embiid and Harris, or Embiid and Al, like whatever. Dallas have got Luka and Porzingis. Milwaukee have got Giannis and Middleton. Lakers have got LeBron and AD. Utah have got, I don't know, Mitchell and Gobert. Conley and Mitchell, whatever. Portland, Lillard, McCollum. Denver, Murray, Jokic. Boston have got Kemba and Gordo, or Kemba and Jason Tatum. Gordo, like, it's just crazy. Spurs, you've still got DeMar and LaMarcus. Washington is still there, even though Wall's probably out for another year with Wall and Beal. It's like the olden days, PDX Pete. MJ and Pippen, Stockton, Malone, Peyton, Kemp, KJ and Barkley, Olajuwon and Drexler. It's pretty cool.
It's fucking sick, dude. It's going to be an interesting season. I cannot wait for it to get started. It's going to be awesome.
Nice one. All right, well, we'll leave it there. Some NBA Jam shit. I'm excited. I can't fucking wait. I love the idea of the duos as well, just because night in, night out, there's going to be something fucking cool going on. And we dodged a bullet, I think, with Kawhi not going to the Lakers, right? Because we then would have had this fucking stupid super team, and it would have been Lakers fans crowing about it for fucking ever. And they would have been the hot, short price favorite going into the season. We would have just switched out Golden State, one prohibitive favorite, for fucking another. And instead, we get Paul George and fucking Kawhi on the Clippers. Absolutely bananas, isn't it? Come on, Pete.
It's fantastic. It's going to be fucking awesome. I can't wait.
Legendary. All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on today's show. This was sick as, and we're going to have you on probably in the next couple of weeks if anything else goes on. And so cheers, PDX Pete. You got to be feeling pretty crazy about this Western Conference that your Portland Trailblazers are in.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. And I just want to shout out the Queensland Maroons. They're going to kick the shit out of New South Wales this week. So come on the Maroons.
It's not NRL Australia, Pete. Fuck off.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
How good was that? An extendo, yeah, nah, with PDX Pete. Big thanks to PDX Pete for coming on. That was awesome. A lot of stuff covered. I am very, very excited about this NBA season. I don't know if you can tell. I did a lot of yelling about it, and so did PDX Pete, so it's going to be great. Good times. Let the good times roll. All right, we're going to be back at some stage this week, probably Thursday or Friday, because we've got a thing on Wednesday that we... NBA Australia will be at. We might have a show after it, who knows, but anyway, we'll have something special for you for the rest of this week. Don't worry about that. And then in the next couple of weeks as well, there should be some fun guests on NBA Australia. It should be really good. Don't worry, man, we're gonna keep on going all the way through the off season. It's what we do here at NBA Australia. Then we'll kick back in the daily as the season approaches, and off we go again. Just never stops. All right, man, so thanks for listening. Thanks to PDX Pete. Get around NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Go to NBAAustralia.com. If you're going to buy some shit from Amazon, go to NBAAustralia.com first. Click on the giant Amazon button, then go do your shopping. They kick us a shekel or two on the back end. Pretty handy. Check us rating and review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, whatever app you use on the Android phone. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify, iHeartRadio, all that good stuff. Go check it out. And if you can rate and review, that'd be really, 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 really sick. Tell a mate as well. Go, oi! NBA offseason's here. Got to listen to NBA Australia to keep up. We're going to have NBA Australia Never Forget popping off as well, which is always good. So stick around for that. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Debut album Running Out of Time is out now. It's an absolute ball scorcher. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Shadow, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right. That's it for today. We will catch you later this week. Stick around for Deli's review of Stranger Things. That's a classic. This is NBA Australia saying, later, son! Oi, 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 how the fuck are you, dickheads? It's your old mate Deli over here, just swing a ball from the latest pop culture review for NBA Australia, eh? So, not much going on, hey? I mean, sure. Kawhi and Paul George now in the Clippers and shit, but fucking really? That's just one more super turn for your old mate Deli over here to take down, eh? I reckon me and Kevin Love will smash him no hassles, so... But, you know, just saying, I'm back in Australia, hanging out with my parents, hanging out with family, and we had a bit of news to announce, didn't we? Oh, yeah. Did you see me Instagram? Oh, it was fucking sick, man. Good video. Just me setting up the missus to spike the ball, and the ball was filled with blue powder. Fucking, yeah, that's right. It's a bloody gender reveal. It's going to be little fucking Deli running around, shredding like a little mad dog. How good is that? Sick as, a bit stoked, I'll tell you, eh? Can't wait to show little fella how to knock down throws and play mongrel defense, eh? I reckon he's going to wipe the floor with Steph Curry's kids. No worries about that, huh? Love it. So, yeah, pretty good. Big news, big news, big news. So, like, I don't know. Anyway, in between all this flying around and junk, you know, the missus and I are obviously taking a bit easy, sitting on the couch a lot. So, for this week's pop culture review, we smash through all the new Stranger Things, eh? Stranger Things 3. And look, no fucking spoils or nothing, but I gotta say, if you like Stranger Things, you fucking love the new one. And if you haven't watched it, now's a prime time to go catch up, because, like, season 3 is fucking sick as. Sick as, I'll tell ya. Like, I loved it. Like, the kids are growing up, there's some fun teenage tension, like, your mates. Oh, fucking kissy kissy girls. Oh, what are you doing, you dickhead? Oh, shut up. There's a lot of laughs, there's some fun scary shit, and all around, like, it's just... Probably the best show on telly of its ilk, you know? Like, it's not all just nostalgia and shit. I really like how they fleshed out the characters, made you really care about them and all the relationships, and, like, the sort of intermingling ideas of what it means to really grow up and get a bit older, you know? So it's really good. And to be honest, I reckon there's a bit more of this in the future, eh? Like, a lot less cruising around Maryborough, my best mate Pluggers, lowered VSHS Voodoo GTSR, Commodore throwing stubbies out the windows at those prick bouncers at the Park Hotel, eh? So, yeah, a bit more sitting around watching Stranger Things working, so. But anyway, so there you go. I really love this season of Stranger Things. I reckon all the relationships were handled real nice. I love the baddies. I love the sort of twist of who's involved. I really like, you know, all the pairings up and, like, the sort of pitter and patter and all that. It was great, man, so... Oh, it's just great. Like, I just really, really like it. So, I'll give Stranger Things about 17 out of 10 Deli Ones, I reckon. Loved it. So, there you go. All right. Well, I've got to get back to looking after the missus. So, look, I better go. I'll catch up with you next week in NBA Australia, eh? Oh, yeah. All right. Later, cunts. Deli out.